welcome to Orlando Lady Boss, the podcast. I'm so excited. It's the first episode, numero uno. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Diana Griffith. I'm a freelance writer here in Orlando, and I run the blog OrlandoLadyBoss.com. And let me tell you a little bit more about myself and why we're doing this whole thing here. Last fall, I was working at a job full time and writing on the side. And I was just kind of miserable. And I got to a point where I had to decide whether or not I was going to give up my side business or if I was going to go for it full time. And I decided to take the leap. And it was scary as crap. And the first thing that I realized I needed to do is I needed to meet people. I needed to build this community around me. And I just needed to get out the door and start networking. And that is exactly what I did. And I started meeting people at networking events. And as I was meeting people at networking events, I started asking people like, hey, let's go get coffee. And especially women, because I really wanted to work with like amazing women who are doing awesome things. I see all these amazing women in Orlando doing awesome things. And I just want to be a part of that. And so as I started talking to these women, I was having these wonderful conversations about all of this awesome stuff that's going on in Orlando and all of these awesome things that women here in Orlando are doing. And I just thought that, hey, we need to have someone recording this. We need to record these conversations. And so that's basically how the podcast idea came about. This is a podcast for women, about women in Orlando who are doing awesome things. And I just want to be here to help amplify their voices. Well, that leads us to our first guest, who is Carolyn Capron with CT Social, which is a digital marketing agency here in Orlando. And I'm so excited that Carolyn is my first guest. I've known Carolyn now for a few years, and on a particular batch of courage, I reached out to her when I first started doing freelancing on the side and developed a relationship with her and her business partner, Greg, that I have been so thankful for over the years. When I first came up with the idea of Orlando Lady Boss, she was one of the first ones to hear about it. And she came up to me and said, Diana, this is a great idea. How can I be a part of that? And it really just gave me the encouragement to kind of move forward with the project. And so it's so appropriate that she's my first guest today. And without further ado, here's our interview. I hope you guys enjoy. Welcome to Orlando Lady Boss. I am here with Carolyn Capron with CT Social. We're going to talk a little bit about community today. So Carolyn, tell me a little bit about yourself, CT Social, and what you do.
Well, it's nice to be sitting down with you, Diana, and thanks for having me on your podcast. CT Social is a company that I started about almost 5 years ago now with my partner, Greg Trujillo. We teamed up after we kind of stumbled out of our previous jobs and into this brave new world of entrepreneurship. We both got actually unexpectedly laid off at the same time from the same company. And so we had some parallel expertise in technical website development and content creation and creative marketing. So we teamed up and we started a firm intended to be focused on websites and social media, which has subsequently expanded to focus on all aspects of digital marketing. And now we're going on our fifth year. I think it's what, something like 95% of businesses don't survive their first 3 years, so we're happy to still be here.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And just for a little background on for everyone here, I've been working with Carolyn now for a year and a half, 2 years.
I think going on now,
and you've been such an inspiration to me, and you are so involved in the community now, but I know you and Greg have talked about in the past how you haven't always been so involved in the community, which is crazy to me because you're one of the most connected people I know, And how did you go from knowing no one to, hey, I know 15 people you should know?
It was an interesting situation because it really did feel like back in April 2012, like Greg and I kind of crawled out of the gutter and into the business community of Orlando it's true, neither one of us knew that many people. I had been in the community physically about 10 months at the time that we started the business. Greg had been here a lot longer, but his communities were not business related at all. They were gamer related, or they were people that he knew from back in high school. And you know how it is after high mm-hmm. school, everyone kind of goes off in their own separate directions mm-hmm. and forms their own separate worlds. So when Greg and I started the business, it was the first really good excuse that either one of us had to really dive into the community. And it just so happened to be at about the same time that I think a lot of Orlando was starting to find that its identity and search out communities. Mm-hmm. There were obviously lots of communities around to begin with, but so we started out in one place. You know, everybody I think kind of starts their journey the same way. They find that one place and meet that one person who gets them started. And for us, that one place was the Citrus Club. We stumbled in there right before we got laid off, actually, and met a few people, one of whom was a realtor named Paul Kelly. And Paul and a couple of other people that we met that night became our very first clients when we got laid off. And they just introduced us around the Citrus Club. It was really very old-fashioned, actually. It was the go up for happy hour and chat, strike up a conversation with the person who's at the bar next to you, or, you know, walk around the room at an event and shake a few hands. We were such awkward networkers to begin with. I'll be very straight up about that and put it on the record. very, very awkward networkers. We're both incredibly introverted people. Not that some people might know it from meeting us, but it's true. I think our first networking strategy was, where's the bar?
Yeah.
Beeline for the bar and talk to whoever's there.
Well, I'm an extroverted person, and even still, I go to networking events, and I am just... Is there someone that looks friendly, and I just try to hone in on one person? And
exactly. Who looks approachable?
Who looks approachable?
Who's not in the middle of an intense conversation right now? And who looks like they might... Does anyone have anything nerdy on? That's what I always look for. So, you know, that one connection led to multiple. And I think... Thinking about, I don't know if there was any particular tipping point or if mm-hmm. it was just a series of events looking mm-hmm. back, mm-hmm. but I think probably one of the defining moments of our early business life was when we volunteered to do a Halloween event for the Citrus Club. We actually, a mutual friend that we met through Paul up there said, hey, the Citrus Club's about to throw this charity party. They need some help with promotions. I know you guys do social media. Does that sound up your alley? And we said, sure. And so that's where we met Andre Bailey. He was at the time the executive director of Community Food and Outreach Center, which is now United Against Poverty Orlando. And he was quite a character even at that time. But he really was probably the first client that we had who really got the social media thing mm-hmm. and really wanted to make that part of his own personal ethic and professional ethic. Mm-hmm. But he taught us how much the nonprofit community could become a community that we wanted to be involved with. He was really our first introduction into the Orlando nonprofit community.
So he kind of sold you on nonprofit while you were selling him on social media.
It was beautiful.
So it's a match made in heaven.
Yes. And neither one of us needed a lot of convincing mm-hmm. to do work for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. We're both relentless do-gooders who mm-hmm. want to change the world, Greg mm-hmm. and I. So it was definitely very natural, I think, for us to move into helping nonprofits. And it's been... an incredibly rewarding part of our journey ever since then.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about you just volunteered at an event at the Citrus Club. is it, as you start meeting people, you start finding those opportunities to use the skills that you're naturally good at, or were you going out and still trying to find other areas to use those skills or those things that you want to do to help build your community?
Oh, definitely both. Mm-hmm. Definitely both. It was a little bit of proactive seeking out of opportunities, mm-hmm. and a little bit of whatever comes our way and sounds like something that is of interest. I think the nice thing about when you go out and find a couple of things that you like doing, then it starts to naturally follow that the other opportunities will arise too, because you'll just gravitate toward the people with the same ethic as you. It was actually at the mm-hmm. same time that we met Jim Hobart, mm-hmm. From Macbeth Photography, mm-hmm. Someone who has been constantly in our same rotation ever since as well, because he shares that commitment to using creative work for mm-hmm. Helping the good of the community.
And so it's kind of the idea of finding your own tribe, right?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, you start being who you want to be. You start looking for the person with the nerdy shirt or the person who's interested in the same thing you're interested in, and if you can connect with them, that's where that community building comes from, finding groups of like-minded people to kind of support you and lift you up as you're doing the same.
Exactly. And it starts to help you on multiple levels that you never even necessarily thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for most people, and certainly when you're in the position of just starting up a business, your primary objective is to find work, right?
Yeah.
That's, you got to pay your bills.
Of course.
So you got to go find work. But once you get out there and start looking for work, it becomes clear that it's actually just as rewarding to seek out people for the mm-hmm. benefit of the fact that they're people,
mm-hmm.
As well as any business objectives, and not just going after the hard sells.
Yeah. And how do you balance the... let me find these people that are interested and get what I'm doing and know what I'm doing and really work with them to do the things I'm passionate about mm-hmm. and make money doing those things, and I just need to make money, let me go for the easy thing or the quick sale or the kind of a pain in the butt customer who I'm going to have to handhold the whole way through. How mm-hmm. do you balance those two?
Oh, it's a tough balancing act. Some days more than others, I guess. I would say that it probably has helped the most to learn to say no mm-hmm. to certain things. There's certainly been times when we've been in a financial position that saying yes is to someone who comes along who's not ideal is just what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But over time and with a lot of practice, mm-hmm. It's gotten easier to identify people who are not good fits mm-hmm. for what we do, because we've learned more about ourselves and mm-hmm. what we like working with.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're in the early stages, it's very easy to say yes to almost everything because you don't know what you need to say no to,
mm-hmm.
Unless their budget is just way too low to non-existent yeah. or something like
story
that.
Story of my life right now. You say yes to everything and then realize certain things just don't stick right, and then you feel like you're treading water trying to figure out how to get out of the situation you said yes to.
Yes, but that's when you learn the very healthy practice of firing clients politely. it's as important a skill as any other mm-hmm. in business, really, mm-hmm. from what I can tell. Sometimes you just get into those situations and you can just tell it's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I totally think it's a skill that it's something that you have to develop, and it's one of those secret you don't know until you have to experience it type of thing. And
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of times, especially in new fledgling businesses, it's one of those areas that can really suck the time and the energy away from right work. And if you don't know how to distinguish between those two things, it could be the failure of your business.
Oh, very much so, especially if you let it get too far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It can be quite devastating, and it's a tough lesson to learn, but a worthwhile one.
Yeah.
And then you learn where to go over time, again, gradually, to cultivate the kind of business that you want. Every sub-community within Orlando is very different and attracts very different types of people. There's groups that naturally attract small business owners. There's groups that naturally attract MLM-type businesses, like Legal Shield. There's groups that attract high-level executives on the flip end. So it's not always easy to get into those high-level groups because, of course, those are the clients that everybody wants.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones that are most averse to being sold, actually. So it's a very, very long process, usually, to get in front of those people unless you happen to luck out with a direct introduction. And direct introductions are one of the best reasons to cultivate a broad network because you never know who knows who. But, you know, you just... We've actually moved around a lot between different networking groups and gotten intentionally gotten to find different parts of the community. We've been in MBA Orlando, the LGBT Chamber of Commerce, even though neither one of us is gay. We both consider ourselves allies. We've been in the, and continue to be in the Orlando Chamber of Commerce. Of course, I mentioned the Citrus Club. There's probably been two or three others that I'm not even remembering, but... I think getting out there and sampling all the different types of groups and starting to see how the dynamic works is a very educational thing.
I think all of us have had a bad networking experience or three. And what do you do and what's your advice to those people who go to that bad networking experience, especially if it's one of the first ones, and it kind of scares them away from doing the whole networking thing? They think it's now just not for them.
One thing that I would say is go into every networking event with an open mind. Don't expect to find leads. Expect to find new friends. And if you go in there looking to find new friends, you will probably have a higher likelihood of finding someone that you can connect with than you would if you're just going after clients and that's your only measure of success. Sometimes the most successful thing that can come out of a networking event is someone who can refer to you. So in our line of work, for instance, we don't do video production or photography. We do a lot of other creative things, but we don't do those particular things. So two of our best referral sources are actually photographers and videographers, because they do stuff that is different but complementary, and their clients can naturally be referred to us and vice versa.
I've learned that too. Being, you know, you have a marketing company and I'm doing more straightforward writing, and what I've found is I kind of want to avoid doing working with marketing companies, but I found that's a great source for me to meet other marketers because they're looking for freelance writers who are looking to do this one project or have a certain voice that they don't have, and it's a perfect type of segue or relationship to have.
Exactly.
So it's not about competition, it's just about collaboration, I
Exactly.
think.
People get way too obsessed with competition. And I mean, it's true to an extent. There is competition out there. There's only so much business to go around, but there's a lot of business to go around. A lot. Especially in the marketing arena. And with different companies in the area having so many different specialties and subspecialties as part of what they do, it's just an incredibly perfect environment for teaming up when the situation presents itself, especially when you're a freelancer with a specific interest like writing.
We met through an online community, actually. So we didn't even, I don't even know how long, I guess we met shortly after we met in person, after we talked, went back and forth through email a little bit. But we just met online, and so I know that that's one way where I've connected with a lot of people, and I think a lot of younger people understand kind of how that works, but...
It's a different ecosystem.
It is a different ecosystem, and how do you function within that ecosystem, especially as someone who is runs a social media company and can speak to that on a business and a personal level?
My partner and I like to say that social media is the networking event that never stops. So the same lessons that I learned awkwardly interacting with people at bars can apply more or less in, you know, modified ways on social media. It's still all about getting to know people on an individual level. I think that, you know, I work in the marketing business, so I love talking about inbound marketing and creating great content and how that attracts people to your site and build your audience and build your newsletter list and blah, 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 blah. But when you're out there to build the relationships, the strategy becomes a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit less like marketing in mm-hmm. that sense. And once again, it's more like just making friends. Mm-hmm. You find someone, or you participate in a group, for instance, like mm-hmm. how we met, like the, mm-hmm. the lady bloggers group. Mm-hmm. And you just stumble in there for your own purposes, right? I think I got in there off of Florida BlogCon mm-hmm. and visiting that. I'm not sure how you made your way in there.
I had, you know, I was a blogger. I've been a blogger for years, and I had a different blog, This Imperfect Happiness, before, which two people out there will probably remember. And I was just, it was the same thing. I was looking for a community of people to talk with, and I remember that was probably one of the first groups of people I went into a real person group and went, oh my gosh, I found my people in Orlando.
And that's just such a wonderful group, and it that particular one has the nice hybrid situation of doing those in-person events periodically, but also keeping everybody connected through the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had other experiences like that, too. Mm-hmm. Everyone's forgotten, I think, at this point about Google Plus.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
It's not 2013 anymore.
Yes, exactly. But in 2013, it was a huge thing for me. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was just a year after we started the business, right? Mm-hmm. So Greg and I got on there to check out mostly the SEO benefit. That was mm-hmm. what people were talking about at the time. And mm-hmm. we were in the process of learning a lot about search engine optimization. So we got on there initially mostly just to learn. Mm-hmm. We went out and found experts in the social media industry and mostly the search industry and just started following them mm-hmm. and then connected with other people and other people. And it was one of the most engaging social media experiences I've ever had. I would spend hours on there talking to people. So much so it was kind of problematic for mm-hmm. businesses, which is why I actually wound up having to drop off after a certain amount of time. But because they had the Hangouts feature, the Hangouts mm-hmm. on air, we were able to get our face in front of different people mm-hmm. and get into direct conversations with different people. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think I've probably had at least a dozen new legitimate friends that mm-hmm. I've made from all over the country and all over the world mm-hmm. just through that platform. Mm-hmm. Some of them have come here to Florida, mm-hmm. and I've met them in person.
I have groups like that, too. Ooh. I call it my secret ladies group, because I know nobody else that I know is in that group. And I have gone elsewhere to other parts of the country, and if there's someone in the group that I know when I'm visiting the city, I will go and meet with them. And
it's really amazing.
It is. It really is. It's a weird thing to meet someone who you... I met someone just a few weeks ago when I went to Philadelphia. I've been talking to this girl for probably 2 or 3 years online, and we never met in person. We never spoken to each other. And we talked like we have been old friends for 2 hours. It's a weird... wonderful experience.
It's the beauty of the online world, really, mm-hmm. when you approach it from that perspective of, hey, you're a real person on the other side of the computer screen, I'm a real person on this side of the computer mm-hmm. screen. There's no reason that we can't connect mm-hmm. on the levels of what we're interested in. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the nice thing about online, because it is, it's not so much about who you bump into at the bar, mm-hmm. you actually seek out something when you're online.
I think that's something, too, that a lot of people are starting to forget, too, that there's actually real people on the other side of whatever that avatar is on the computer screen. I think...
It's such a problem when, especially, I mean, not to bring up politics, but it's toxic.
Yeah.
It's straight up toxic. Mm-hmm. And we seem to have, by and large, forgotten on some levels. But then you see other groups like the... I can't remember what he's called. There's one online that's popped up in the wake of the election.
The Pantsuit Nation group?
Yes, mm-hmm. that's the one. Mm-hmm. And they've been obviously kind of trying to revitalize that sense of connection and, mm-hmm. and authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I think it's beautiful to see when it happens. It's all too rare, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think that there's a need for more of that online, because increasingly people spend more and more time online. Social media... the internet's not going to go away, and I think that we just need to learn a little bit more about how to function in maybe be a little bit nicer to each other on the internet and building your own community within your online spaces too is just as important as building your community outwardly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason that they can't cross each other, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. Almost all the people that I've met in person, I've connected to on one platform or another mm-hmm. online, assuming that they're there, which, yeah. let's be honest, probably 95 to 97% of them are.
And how many times do you go to an event and they're, what's your Instagram, what's your Facebook, yep. and you're already friending them. You don't even need business cards anymore.
No, not hardly even necessary. Carry around a scrap of paper in your pocket, maybe.
No. Yeah, for the one person that says they don't want to be on the internet.
Yeah. That's a fair number of my clients, surprisingly. Or perhaps not surprisingly.
I'm sure we could do a whole nother episode about how to convince someone why the internet is important in 2017.
Oh, yes. But actually, that was the interesting consequence of starting networking the way I did mm-hmm. offline. Mm-hmm. It's that I mostly found people at the time who were either barely online or not online at all. Mm-hmm. And we had to kind of slow walk them to internet savviness, mm-hmm. or at least to trusting us to be
yeah.
internet savvy and do our thing.
Yeah.
So it really is interesting.
I think
people miss out when they don't realize that it's a way to make friends
mm-hmm.
and connect with people on a genuine level.
I think it comes down to the whole people are scared of what they don't know, and instead of taking time to kind of understand, they just reject it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because it really, you know, it really is a kind of cool place to be and build
it
a community, whether or not, and you know, I think a lot of people talk too about, especially in small towns, and we're in Orlando, of course, so it's a little bit different.
It's a big small town,
but where they feel like they don't have someone that really they can relate to, and they can go and find their own little niches of people, you know.
That is what I think is the beautiful thing about Orlando, mm-hmm. actually, because a huge percentage of the people here are mm-hmm. from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like me, I said at the start, I felt like I crawled out of a ditch when we started the company and mm-hmm. just kind of showed up in the mm-hmm. business scene in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens all the time here,
mm-hmm.
because people are moving here from somewhere else every day
yes.
and staying here and putting down roots here. And so these communities that have popped up as ways to meet people are just beautiful. You know, you get Yelp Orlando and mm-hmm. how they do all the local business mm-hmm. events. You get groups like Ideas for Us that bring kind of the social justice, mm-hmm. Environmental friendly people out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
You get Pishakasha,
mm-hmm.
Intellectual dialogue presentation. You've got the Dinner Party Project, which
yeah.
is a fantastic way to just meet people in a
yeah.
quiet but random setting. You
yeah.
don't even know who you're sitting down
exactly.
to dinner with.
Fringe Festival has theater, you know, the
mm-hmm.
Florida Film Festival. There's even that Axis puts on the music festival here
yeah.
in May.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these little diverse communities all swimming around. Everyone's looking for connection. They're all
mm-hmm.
looking to connect to each other.
And it's hard, but it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part in some ways is getting yourself up off the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting the first conversation.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it feels like since the first conversation, I haven't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the really nice and gratifying thing. And it always surprises me when people like you say that I seem like one of the best connected people to know. Because I remember where I started from, and sometimes I still feel like that person,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a little bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But then I look at the people I know, and I'm just in awe.
Yeah.
And that's the really nice feeling, is to be surrounded by cool people doing cool things that
mm-hmm.
they care about.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. I've actually been in Orlando for 10... Oh my gosh, how long have I been in Orlando? 14 years now.
Wow.
So, I mean, I went to college at UCF and then I moved here, but I feel like there was a really long period where I just kind of clung on to those college friends. So I kind of had the opposite experience. I clung on to the college friends that I was friends with, and then as they started kind of moving on and going on with their lives, and we all, you know, love each other but have our own little
yeah.
diverse lives that we're living, I felt like I had lost a sense of community that I had to start actively figuring out ways to build it again.
It's tough to be an adult.
Yeah, it's tough to be. I think that's the lesson.
It was much easier in school.
I think that's the lesson is, you know, you there's not all the tables, right?
Right.
At high school, there's all the tables. You just look for the people that look like you can relate to. And I think it's like that here, you mm-hmm. know, now as an adult, it's just harder and those tables are further apart from each
yep.
other.
But again, here's where the internet comes back into play, right? Because the internet brings those tables a little bit closer.
Yeah.
It's all just a Google search away.
Exactly. So I think the place where I want to end is tell me what you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what do you love about Orlando? What keeps you here?
I love this question, and I hate this question at the same time. What I love about Orlando and what keeps me here, ultimately, is the people.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt very lucky to be surrounded by people who care.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where I've gone in life, mm-hmm. I've felt like I've been lucky to find those people around me. I had some great friends when I lived in D.C. who were really just doing spectacular things. I had great friends in New Hampshire and everywhere else I've been. But because Orlando has that diversity that I touched mm-hmm. on of people and life experiences and random locations and
mm-hmm.
you know, people who are from here and people who've been here for generations and people
mm-hmm.
who are on their first or second weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
I love that openness
mm-hmm.
and the creativity and energy to get out and connect that
mm-hmm.
I've seen in that. I think we all kind of saw that come out to the forefront during the Pulse tragedy and after the Pulse tragedy.
100% agree.
I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, would have wanted that to be the cause of everybody realizing how great a city we have
mm-hmm.
In terms of people who are wanting to come together and
mm-hmm.
and help each other and really
mm-hmm.
care.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure did that.
Yeah.
And I think that the shooter's objective, if it was to divide people, epically failed.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
I've never been more proud to be here
mm-hmm.
than I was watching the aftermath of that. And I actually wasn't here the day of that shooting, and I never wanted to be back here so badly.
Yeah. When the Pulse shooting happened, like I said, I've been here for 14 years,
yeah.
and I grew up an hour away from here, so not very far, but I didn't even know this Orlando existed on the other side of Disney.
Yeah.
I grew up west of Disney, and for years, I was like, you guys don't understand how great Orlando is. You guys just don't get it. Let me explain to you, and I agree. If anything good came out of that horrible thing that happened, it's that the world got to see what a beautiful, vibrant community we have here.
And we got to see it for
And
ourselves.
We got to see it.
I
yeah.
think everybody kind of sort of knew it, but mm-hmm. wasn't out there saying it. And
yeah.
It catalyzed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's a really, really spectacular thing. I don't honestly know that I would have been able to start a business when I did in another city.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would have been possible, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was young, really young when I started my business. I was
mm-hmm.
22.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, not a lot of people are inclined to trust a dumb 22-year-old
mm-hmm.
with their marketing.
Yeah.
So I feel that, you know, that Greg and I were very lucky to be here
mm-hmm.
And to have the opportunity to start things up and kind of get ourselves up and running and just have the community come together around us and give us the chance to step up and give back.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Well, Carolyn, I want to thank you for joining me today on the first Orlando Lady Boss podcast. And I guess we will just leave things here. So thank you so much.
Till next time. Thank
yes.
you, Diana.
Thanks. Bye.
I want to thank Carolyn again for joining me. And if you want to find more about Carolyn or her business, you can visit CT Social's website at ct-social.com. Or you can find them on Twitter at CT Socializer or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/CT Social. And please be sure to visit my blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and sign up for my monthly email list, where I'll give you all the news and updates on the things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with some advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at OrlandoLadyBoss. And you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. If you're a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. And finally, if you could please take a moment and rate Orlando Lady Boss podcast in iTunes, I would forever be grateful. Thank you so much for joining me today on my first episode. We are now at the end. So until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your world.